Some more expedition through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight, we have two guest speakers with us tonight, Frank Briscoe, who preaches for the Santo Church of Christ, and Denny Wilson, who's working with the church in the Eisenhower Church of Christ in Odessa. And we're happy to have them with us. They're filling in tonight because David is not doing very well at the moment. He has been put into the hospital. He's got trouble with his graft versus host syndrome because of his bone marrow transplant. And so we want to be sure and keep him in our prayers. They think they've got everything under control, but he's lost 20 pounds in the last month or so. And so they want to get him back on his feet and give him the proper things that he needs. So let's be sure and keep David in our prayer. He hopes to be in a hospital only for 3, 4, 5 days. So let's keep him in our prayers. We want to remind you that we're airing on KTX 97.7 East FM out of Eastland, Texas. KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Texas. KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma. And we're also airing on the Gospel Radio Network. And we want to remind you of the various programming that takes place on the Gospel Radio Network. Of course, the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we have other good programmings like Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. The hosts are Rick Popejoy and Josh Romo. And we've got another one coming up here real soon. Denny Wilson has a program, and I'm going to let you let Denny tell you a little bit about his programming that's coming up soon.
Beginning on September 2nd at 6:30 in the evening, I'm going to be hosting a new program called Take Aim. And our theme for the study is going to be 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11, where our present aim is to be pleasing to God. And so we're going to study things where we're talking about having a target, having a goal, having our eyes on the prize so that we can work together to go to heaven. And as that passage says, not only to be there and to be ready, but also knowing the terror of the Lord to persuade men. So our aim is to go to heaven and help others to do the same.
Exactly. You know, so there's lots of good programming that you can listen on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the Gospel Radio Network. And so we really encourage you to listen in to that good internet radio. And also, speaking of that, there's also a chat box. If you'll go to the Gospel Radio Network and you'll refresh the browser there, you'll see at the bottom where you can get onto the chat box and you can ask questions or make comments. Our phone's not working tonight, and so if you'd like to get in on the discussion tonight, you'll need to do so through the chat box. We want to also remind you of our additional sponsors. We're being sponsored by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, and also the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, located on 4839 10 Top Road. Our motto is and has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's listen to what the Bible has to say. We have, over the last several weeks, been discussing the Christian graces. We have talked about faith and virtue and self-control and patience. And last week, we talked about godliness. And we had a lot of good discussion about godliness last week. And tonight, we're going to be continuing our study on the Christian graces by looking at brotherly kindness or brotherly love. When we think about this word brotherly love or brotherly kindness, the English Standard Version translated as brotherly affection. It comes from the Greek word Philadelphia and literally is translated love of the brethren. When we talk about brotherly love, we're talking about affectionate love, emotional type love. It has to do with a family relationship, and that's really important for us to understand in regard to this type of love. We're going to be looking at next week love, agape love, which is more of a sacrificial love, always doing that which is the best for another person. There's a lot of similarities, but there are some differences as well. Frank, when we talk about this idea of brotherly love and kindness, we were talking earlier just how much love is mentioned in the Bible.
Tom, as you look through the New Testament, I don't know of any subject or any instruction that we have that's repeated more than our need to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And as we think about the, you know, John gives so much time, so much of the space in his book, 1 John, to the need for us to love one another. And I think that if we look back at New Testament times, they were living in a time where the world hated them. Jesus told them the world was going to hate you. They persecute you. They cast you out of the synagogue. They will think they're serving God but killing you.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to love one another. They needed that encouragement, that help, and the strength that they would draw from
another. Isn't it true that, you know, love is mentioned abundantly throughout the Bible, but one of the difficulties is people have a misconception of what love is all about, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. You know, in our world today, love means everything from we barely know each other to getting what you want, or how does this affect me, instead of this brotherly, caring, affectionate love that you're talking about, instead of that family connection of support. You're seeing all kinds of perversion being described as love.
You know, we're going to see later on in our lesson tonight, if we get to it, that associated with brotherly love is keeping the commandments of God.
Mm.
And that's important for us. When we think about this idea of love, Frank, we know, first of all, that God loves us, doesn't he?
You know, probably the most familiar passage in the New Testament, as far as most people are concerned, is John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
God so loved the world. God so loved us. And most everyone can read that. They may not really appreciate exactly what the love of God means, but they are familiar with the fact that God loves us,
mm-hmm.
and that we are the recipient of the greatest gift known to man. God loved us so much that he gave his only son for us.
You know, a lot of people, if they don't know any other verse in the Bible, they know that verse, don't they?
That's exactly right.
And yet they have a misconception of what that verse is all about, don't they, Denny?
They do. You know, the modern mentality of John 3:16 is that God loves us and therefore everybody is saved.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Bible clearly says, not just in this passage, but throughout, we have to be faithful and obedient in order to partake of the grace and mercy of God. In this passage, even, it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish,
mm-hmm.
but have everlasting life. If you believe, that's not enough. You need to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Even there are many examples in the Bible of people who believed but are going to be lost.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, one case is the rich young ruler. He had many great things going on in his life, many wonderful things, but something was missing, and he wasn't willing to give up his possessions. Well, from the worldly standpoint, he's a good man, but it's not enough.
Exactly right.
You have to be obedient and faithful.
You know, Denny, Tom and I were talking a little bit earlier about the concept of the love of God, and the book of Hosea in the Old Testament, in the 11th chapter in particular, where God talks about the love that he had for Israel, that he drew them with the bands of love, and how can he give you up? And he literally said that he wept for Israel. My heart is turned within me. My compassions are kindled together. God loved Israel, but Israel didn't love God.
That's
and
right.
Two chapters later, we find out what happened to Israel because they didn't love God in return.
And so we think about the idea of love. God loves us so much that he sent his son, his only son, his only begotten son, to die that cruel death on Calvary. That speaks greatly about the love of God. But we also realize, and according to 1 John 4, verse 19, we love God because he first loved us. And that was part of the problem with Israel in Hosea's day, wasn't it? They didn't have the same kind of love for God that God had for him. And we need love for one another, don't we? For God, especially.
Yes, absolutely. You know, John 3:16 says God loved and he gave. Mm-hmm. 1 John 3:16
yes.
says, by this we know love. How? Jesus laid down his life for us, and then he gives us the challenge. And if we want to have that same kind of love, we must lay down our lives for the brethren. Mm-hmm. And not just talk about it, but actually do it, as it explains it in that context.
Exactly. And so we talk about God's love for us, our love for God, which brings us really, Frank, to our topic of tonight, the love that we should have for each other.
And I think sometimes that's where our concept of love breaks down.
Yes.
Just a little mm-hmm. bit. We understand a little bit about the love that God has for us, and we know that we need to love God. But do we always love our brethren?
Mm-hmm. You know, we've all been a part of congregations in the past, I'm sure. I know everyone in this studio right now, where there have been brethren who did not love one another. Matter of fact, you would say they hated one another. I was in a congregation one time where certain people would walk into the auditorium, and automatically one man's ears would turn bright red. His blood pressure was going up because he did not like them. We're going to see later on, the Bible says, if you don't love your brothers, you are not going to heaven. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. So we think about this idea of brotherly love. You know, the changing power of the gospel is very evident when you look at the lives of the first century Christians. Denny, we have some first century Christians who wrote some pretty powerful messages concerning brotherly love, don't we?
Exactly. Justin Martyr, for one, wrote, "We used to value above all else money and possessions." And if I didn't know this was from Justin Martyr, I'd be thinking he was talking about today. But mm-hmm. but he said, "We used to value above all else money and possessions. Now we bring together all that we have and share it with those who are in need. Formerly, we hated and killed one another because of a difference in nationality or custom. Now, since the coming of Christ, we all live in peace. We pray for our enemies and seek to convert those who hate us."
That makes a difference in the lives of people around about who see that, doesn't it, Frank?
Absolutely. That when we learn to love one another and care for one another and for their well-being, that it changes our attitude toward them, changes our attitude toward the world.
Now, tonight we're talking about the Christian graces, and we're talking in particular about brotherly kindness or brotherly love. And let's remember, as we're going through our discussion tonight, when we talk about brotherly love, Philadelphia, we need to get out of our mind the misconceptions that the world has about love and get back to what the Bible has to say about love. Tertullian wrote, "It is our care for the helpless, our practice of loving kindness, that brands us in the eyes of many of our opponents. Only look, they say, how they love one another." You know, Frank, this makes a very powerful Christian pyramid, doesn't it, when we have that kind of love?
Absolutely. Another one of the writers about that same period of time, and I've forgotten now, I think it was Pliny the Younger, but he wrote concerning the fact that at that day and time, people that did not want a child and had a baby, they carried it up on the mountain and went off and left it, dedicated it to their God. Christians, he said, would find those children that had been abandoned, and he said they'd take them home with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was absolutely amazed because of the love that they had for their fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even those early writers echoing the things that they were seeing and looking at how the character had changed is powerful. But when you think about Jesus, before he died and left and arose and went to sit on the throne in heaven, he said in John 13:35, "By this all will know that you're my disciples," mm-hmm. "if you have love for one another."
Exactly.
So he had told them, listen, this is going to be a distinguishing characteristic. You're going to be different than the world, not just on what you believe, mm-hmm. but on how you behave. You know, they're going to know you're different. Peter says you're going to be strange or peculiar. They're going to recognize you've changed, you're different. And one of those characteristics is this love, that you care about other people.
Exactly. So this kind of brotherly love helps us to develop a very strong Christian pyramid. And as a Christian pyramid, we learn the need for relying upon one another for strength and encouragement. But if we're not careful, if we're not showing brotherly love properly, the pyramid can topple. Let me give you an illustration of brotherly love. After the USS Pueblo was captured by the North Koreans, the 82 surviving crew members were thrown into a brutal captivity. In one particular instance, 13 of the men were required to sit in a rigid manner around a table for hours. After several hours, a door was violently flung open, and a North Korean guard brutally beat the man in the first chair with the butt of his rifle. The next day, as each man sat at his assigned place, again the door was thrown open, and the man in the first chair was brutally beaten. On the third day, it happened again to the same man. Knowing the man could not survive another beating, another sailor took his place. When the door was flung open, the guard automatically beat the first victim senseless. For weeks, each day, a new man stepped forward to sit in that horrible chair, knowing full well what would happen. At last, the guards gave up in exasperation. They knew that they were unable to beat that kind of sacrificial love. This kind of love is what it's going to take to produce a strong Christian pyramid. And isn't it true, Denny and Frank, that if we have this kind of love for one another, we can have a strong church, and that's what we need, a strong church.
That's exactly right. When we love God first, and we are dedicated to His will, and we're determined to do what's right, and then we love one another, where we have a team working together to accomplish the things of God, mm-hmm. we can do what the early Christians did, and that is turn the world upside down.
Exactly.
But it takes that unity of willingness to do God's will and also to care about each other and work together as a team.
As we develop this thought tonight of brotherly love, let's look at four negative statements about brotherly love and then look at four positive statements. What are some of the negative statements that the Bible makes concerning brotherly love, Frank?
Okay, John, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, he said, "If anyone say, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar." I mean, that's strong language.
It is.
You know, John doesn't mince many words when he makes a statement. You understand what he's saying. If you say, "I love God," but don't love your brother, then you're a hypocrite.
It seemed like the Bible said something about all liars are the part where?
In the lake of fire.
Revelation 21 or verse 8. And wouldn't you really call this kind of love or hypocritical love? You say you love God, but if you don't love your brother, isn't that being a hypocrite?
Absolutely. If God loved that person enough that Jesus died for him or her, mm-hmm. then we ought to have some love for that person as well.
Right.
That lost soul, it doesn't matter if we agree or disagree with them, we should love their soul. It doesn't matter if they're red, yellow, black, or white, we should love their soul. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter their political background, their financial background, their nationality. Now, we have to obey the laws of the land. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is we let things in this world separate us that shouldn't.
Exactly.
We should love all mankind and their souls and care enough to tell them the truth about Christ.
Isn't it sad, Frank, that sometimes we lack that love one for another in a local congregation because a disagreement over color of carpet and padded pews or not padded pews and things of that nature?
We can find some of the, most ridiculous things to fall out from with one mm-hmm. another. I spoke in a congregation one time having a problem, and they had was having a serious problem. One little boy was getting a drink at a water fountain. Another came up and pushed him. Daddy's got mad over it, and they no longer cared for each other. Mm-hmm. You know, that something that kids so, probably the kids themselves probably forgot it in a minute.
They could have handled it themselves, so the parents wouldn't have got involved. And that's a big trouble there. And that's another topic for another time. But you know, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer." Now, Denny, doesn't that tell you exactly how God feels about that type of mentality that brethren can have one for another?
Well, and it's not an overstatement either, is it, Denny?
Oh, no, no. In fact, the way you feel about each other has a lot to do with your worship to God. It has a lot to do with how you live. You know, Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, beginning at verse 21, said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." Therefore, he goes on to say, you make sure you get things right, reconcile things with your brother before you come and worship. The idea is here, how you believe and feel and love one another affects how you work together, how you worship together, how you reach out to the world together. So we have to have the right heart. Mm-hmm. Not just an action-based type system.
Now, Frank, how in the world can anybody worship properly with the proper attitude if someone in that audience is sitting there whom they do not love or whom they hate or do not care for?
You know, again, John, 1 John 4 and verse 20 said, "For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen."
Exactly. That's pretty stout language, isn't it? You know, you just cannot love God if you don't love your brothers. That's all there is to it. I'll never experience a right relationship with God until we get our heart right and have the proper attitude and the proper love with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Where I left off reading there, mm-hmm. Tom, going forward in Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24, it says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." You need to make things right.
And how soon?
Immediately.
That's, you know, where our problem lies many times, isn't it?
Sometimes we hold a grudge, and we don't let things go. And we're probably all guilty of it in some ways, but we need to get past that. We need to forgive people. We need to restore relationships. We need to repent if we're the one that's in sin. We need to do whatever it takes to restore this relationship with each other and with God so that we can work together.
You know, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "Anyone who does not love his brother is not a child of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So what would be the proper question to ask there, Frank?
Okay. If you're not a child of God, what are you?
Mm-hmm.
And he gives us the answer there. We either love God, and if we do not love our brother, we're not a child of God.
And so the bottom line would be what, Frank?
To keep our hatred in our heart for our brother, or keeping hatred out of our heart for our brother, because this will cause us to be lost.
Now, that's something I don't think people think a lot about in the Lord's church. And if I don't have brotherly love for my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not going to go to heaven. That's serious business, isn't it?
It is. Barry on the chat box said, "How can I not love my brother if I'm going to spend eternity with him?" You know, that's exactly right. We don't like each other, but we're going to spend eternity worshiping God and there together in heaven? No. If we don't solve that problem, we're not going to be in heaven.
Exactly right. But, you know, there are also positive statements with regard to loving one another. 1 John 4 and verse 11 says, "We ought..." That's an imperative. We ought also to love one another. That is a command. We love him since he loves us, right?
Because God loved us.
Well, how is that the case? How?
John goes on to say in John, 1 John 3:18, let us not love with word or tongue, but with action and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
That we, the love that we have for our brethren are seen in the things that we do and the way that we conduct ourselves.
So if you're going to walk, talk the talk, you're going to have to walk the walk with regard to brotherly love, right? You know, we can say all day long, I love you, I love my brethren, I love the church here. But if we're not showing that in our actions, we don't really love one another, do we?
No, absolutely not. We have to put our money where our mouth is, or put our actions where our mouth is, so to speak. We have to be doers of the word and not hearers only, to mm-hmm. keep it in that context. You know, the fact of the matter is, it's not enough to be one who believes. We have to be believing and obedient. We have to be faithful. You know, James, the brother of our Lord, the half-brother of our Lord, in James 2, verses 14 through 18 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? And that's obviously a rhetorical question. That is, no. If you're not going to be one who lives what you believe. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't live our faith, meaning we're not just understanding or believing it and keeping it to ourselves, but instead we're sharing our lives with the brethren. We're giving, we're serving, we're teaching, we're reaching out to the lost. If we don't have the actions to go with it, our faith is dead.
Exactly.
You know, and our love is dead if we say, I love you, but let you go away hungry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, how far, Frank, do we carry this love? I mean, how far do we go with it?
Again, John, 1 John 3, verse 16, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers.
Hmm.
Can you imagine a brother that you don't like, one that you don't love? Would you die for him? And yet we must love to the point of dying.
Exactly. You know, in 1 John in chapter 4 and verse 21, it says, whosoever loves God must also love his brother. You know, notice the must. It's not a take it or leave it proposition, isn't it? Is it? It is a imperative. You have to love your brethren. And that's all there is to it.
You know, it's interesting to me that throughout this study thus far, we've seen when it comes to love, God is using imperative language. It's amazing that he has to command us mm-hmm. to love one another. That tells us that it's going to take some work. It's not always going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things we're going to have to work on to get past. But we must do it if we're going to be a family.
Which tells us, reminds us to go back to the beginning of the passage that we started with in 2 Peter. He said, give all diligence mm-hmm. to add. And brotherly kindness is one of the. It takes diligence.
It takes work. It takes hard work.
And notice it says, you know, back in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound.
Mm-hmm.
They make you not to be idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I think a lot of times people are just trying to get by with just enough love. But this love is to abound. It is an imperative that we involve ourselves in this brotherly love. Now, tonight we're talking about the Christian graces. We're talking about brotherly love or brotherly kindness tonight. We want to remind you that we're airing tonight on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Texas, and KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, as well as on the Gospel Radio Network. I think we have about six or seven people who are on the chat box tonight, and we invite you to come in with your questions or comments. Barry made a good comment a moment ago. We encourage you to be involved in that. We also want to remind you of our additional sponsors of the program, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the 9th and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, and also the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, located on 4839 10 Top Road. Tonight, again, we're talking about the Christian graces. And in particular tonight, we're talking about brotherly kindness. Well, fellas, why is brotherly kindness really so important? Now, we know it's a command of God. That makes it important, right? But there are other aspects about brotherly love that makes this very important.
In other words, there is a reason for it to be a command.
Exactly.
Because what it leads to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in 1 John chapter 13 and verse 5, it says that people are going to know you are your disciples if we what?
Love one another.
Love one another.
And so that's important for us to understand. The world is going to judge us. They are going to judge the church by how we treat one another, how brotherly love is manifested. You know, I preach in a small town, and what you do in a congregation in a small town, people in the community know about it. And so it's imperative for us to treat each other right, because if people see in our local congregations that we're not treating one another with brotherly love, treating them like they ought to be treated, they're going to say, well, why in the world would I want to be a part of that group?
Yeah, Tom, I preach in a place that's a little smaller than where you are. We've got a group of ladies up there that has a year-long, I mean, it's year in and year out project that they do, helping people that have had some kind of a catastrophe, a fire, something bad happen, or good, maybe as a young couple get married. And the interesting thing is, since they've been doing that for quite a while, it's make quilting and doing things of this nature, there are ladies in town that know what they're doing and have come and says, can we come up and be a part of your group? And they have a regular time. They come up because they see the love that our ladies have for people that have a need, and they're willing to spend some time preparing things for them. Mm-hmm. And there are people in town that want to come and help.
And you don't know how often that might evolve into Bible study and things of that nature.
That's right. You know, I had a discussion on Friday with a young man who was telling me the reason that he doesn't attend anywhere is that he feels like every time that he tries to find a new place to worship or tries to find someone where he feels comfortable, he said he feels like everyone is judgmental to him and looks down upon him. Now, I will tell you that I did counsel the young man that there are some things that need to change in his life. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's a sad statement when the world feels like it is an uncomfortable place to go to be with the brethren.
Yes.
We need to treat people well. They may not be where they where we think they ought to be in life. But the fact of the matter is, everyone at one point or another was lost in sin. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for the love of God and the gift that he gave, when we didn't deserve it either, we wouldn't be saved today. And so we need to be a loving people who are willing to talk to those who may not look like us or talk like us or dress like us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We need to show love to this world.
You know, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now, that's just a clear statement saying that if we do not show brotherly love, we're not going to go to heaven. You can't get any more critical than that. That's how critical it is for us to show, now notice, biblical brotherly love, not as the world might define it, but as the Bible defines. And as we begin to develop this lesson, there's no way we're going to finish it tonight. But there's so many things involved in really showing brotherly love that the world has no idea of or they willingly ignore.
Well, and that's kind of what I was mentioning before. That young man that I was working with on Friday, he needs to change his life. Mm-hmm. You can't just come to Christ any way you want to. There are rules. There are procedures. There's a change in life. That's what penitence is. Mm-hmm. You're repenting of sin, and now you're going to live the Christian life. But I'm mindful of what Paul said to the churches of Galatia in Galatians 4 and verse 16. He said, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Mm-hmm. No, you're not my enemy. You are a loving, caring person. So when we do reach out to the world in love, it doesn't mean we compromise the truth. We still speak the truth, but we speak it with love.
Exactly. You know, we think about this idea of love, Frank. Sometimes we have to do some pretty difficult and hard things because we love.
And you know, there's nothing, you know, when we think about the things that we may have to do because of our love, and we think of it being somewhat difficult. But over in the book of Romans, chapter 5, "For while we were yet weak, in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. And peradventure for the good man, someone would even dare to die. But God commendeth his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Mm-hmm. And if he can die for a sinner, then we can express and show the love that we have for them.
Exactly. Well, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, we get even some more insight into the importance of brotherly love, don't we, Denny?
Yes, sir. Let me read that. It says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also."
Exactly. You know, there is no way, no way that we can love God as we ought if we don't love our brethren. That's all there is to it, point blank. Now, how can we love God whom we have not seen if we cannot even love our brothers who we have seen? And as Denny mentioned a moment ago, spending eternity with somebody. You really think you're going to spend an eternity in heaven if you can't get along here on this earth?
Now, you know, that takes some humility.
It does.
It takes hard work. It takes determination. You know, but the fact of the matter is, we can do it. And most of the time, if we would just sit down and talk to each other and work through the problems that we're having, we're going to be able to solve those things. If we both are trying to please God and we're trying to do what's right, mm-hmm. and we do things in biblical ways, we're going to be able to solve that problem. But a lot of times we create those situations ourselves, and a lot of it's just what we've built up in our own minds and our own thoughts, and they may not even be what we think they are if we just sit down and work it out.
Now, there's no problem or difficulty that cannot be settled between two individuals who love each other.
That's right.
And who will be willing to abide by what the Scripture says.
By
right?
What God said. That's
you know,
right.
Barry makes a good comment on the chat box. He says, "A perfect example of how we should treat one another in sin, Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman or to the woman who was caught in adultery." You know, Jesus did not say, "You're okay in your sin, and you can, it's all right, don't worry about it." You know, how many times have we said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone"? People love to throw that out there.
Don't judge me.
Yeah. But Jesus didn't say, "You're all right." And he says, "Go and what?
Sin no more."
No more.
That's right.
And notice that these people who brought this Samaritan woman who was caught in adultery, they said she was caught in the very act. Well, where was the man in this situation? Could he not have been among those men? But they were interested in this woman. And Jesus here in his situation was not condoning her, but he was helping them to see, hey, some of you, perhaps one of you guys are involved in this. You need to repent. And she tells this woman, "You also need to change your life." But he treated this situation in a loving, compassionate way.
You know, sometimes people misuse part of that where Jesus said, "Where are those that does no man condemn you?" And then he said, "Neither do I."
Mm-hmm.
And they say, "Well, see there, Jesus said it was all right." That's not what Jesus said. They brought her there to stone her to death. They left. Jesus says, "Doesn't anyone condemn you to stone her to death? Neither do I." He didn't excuse the thing that she had done that was sin, mm-hmm. but he was not going to do as they were in an unfair and unjust way, put her to death. And as you said, he then told her to go, but don't sin anymore.
Exactly right.
And we still know the wages of sin is death.
It's death.
The consequence is going to be the same. If she doesn't repent, if she doesn't do what is right in the judgment, she's going to be lost eternally.
So tonight we're talking about the Christian graces, and in particular tonight we're talking about brotherly kindness or brotherly love, coming from the Greek word Philadelphia, literally meaning love of the brethren. And when we think about this idea of brotherly love, we're going to begin looking at some various things that brotherly love is. Well, first of all, brotherly love is impartial.
In the comment that Barry made, he mentioned the Samaritan woman. And we all remember the story there in John 4. Jesus stops at the well.
Mm-hmm.
And the Samaritan woman comes up and he asks her for a drink of water. And the rest of the conversation. Here was a woman that's been married 7 times, living with someone she's not married to, but she had a soul.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus loved her, and he loved her soul, and he began at that point telling her about God.
So what was the significance then of her being a Samaritan and Jesus coming to her? What was so interesting about that?
Well, there was great hatred between the Samaritans and the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long story, but the fact is there is some lineage issues there, and you have one group of the people of God and one group that's intermarried with the world, and they had their own ways and their own beliefs and their own systems, and it brought a lot of animosity between the two. And so usually even the Jew would go around
yes.
the area, not
mm-hmm.
pass through. But here's Jesus saying, here's one that most of my brethren hate,
he said, I must needs go to Samaria.
I must needs go.
Yeah.
He's showing us that we have to be impartial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that was said in the law. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 19 said, you shall fear the Lord your God. Well, that's verse 20. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
You were once a stranger. You were once different. You were once mistreated because you weren't from there. And so he's saying, you be the opposite of that. Don't be the one that says, oh, I'm not going to care for you from you're not from here. You don't speak the same language. You don't have the same skin color. You don't have the same background. Instead, we love all men. We want all men to be saved, just as God wants all men to be saved.
So our love is not to be extended or withheld because of race or how we are treated or one's wealth, etc. The Golden Rule addresses that, doesn't it, Frank?
The Golden Rule, probably the most paraphrased verse in the Bible, but do unto others, and then it doesn't say what others. It's just others.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say what color, what their background, but do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That this is the way we express our love without limitation or without drawing, you know, some boundaries.
Mm-hmm. And so we see that brotherly love is impartial, but brotherly love is also unselfish. It says there in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39, a second is likened to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, and that's closely akin to the Golden Rule, but just think, how often we are more concerned with ourselves than we are with our brethren. You know, it really irritates me when I hear things, well, I got to do what's best for me. Well, that's not always the case. You know, when we really have the brotherly love and we treat others like we would want to be treated, or where we love our neighbor as ourselves, are we not always going to be considering our brothers and sisters in Christ? And as was seen there in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 19, yea, even strangers, are we not going to be considerate of them, treat them like we would want to be treated?
When he said you love your neighbor as yourself, we also remember that in that same situation, the man tried to excuse himself by saying, yes, but who is my neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
And from that we get the parable of the Good Samaritan. And, you know, who are we to love? It cannot be. It has to be an unselfish love.
Exactly.
And that's what we saw in the message that Jesus gave there later of the Good Samaritan.
Well, we've mentioned a lot of passages from 1 John, but one that comes to mind for me in this context is 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. It's an expression of our knowledge and understanding and faith in God. It's an understanding of what God wants of us. And if we're not showing love in this unselfish, uncaring manner, we're not even a part of God's family.
Exactly. And so we've seen so far, brotherly love is impartial. It is unselfish. But it is also a proof of discipleship. We've already read this passage a couple of times, but in John chapter 13 and verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye love one another. You know, people are not going to be concerned with how much we know until they know how much we care. You know, some people try to make that kind of a trite statement, but it's a powerful statement if you look at the depth of it. You know, people don't care about what you think until they know how much you really care about them.
You know, the very first situation that developed in the church following shortly after the day of Pentecost was the physical need that the brethren had. And they showed their love in that they brought the things that they had, they sold them, they distributed with the apostles, and took care of those that were in need.
That's exactly right. You know, I was thinking, too, back to that passage we used a little while ago from 1 John 4 and verse 20. It is proof to God of our faithfulness to Him in how we treat others. It's in that passage is where we talked about where it says, how can you love God if you don't love the brother? How can you love God whom you haven't seen if you don't love the brother whom you have seen? It's proof. It's proof is in the pudding. How you live demonstrates who you love.
Exactly. So brotherly love is impartial. It is unselfish. It is a proof of discipleship, and brotherly love is sincere. Romans 12 and verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Frank, what exactly is hypocrisy?
Okay, hypocrisy comes from the Greek term that was used to describe an actor, one who plays a part.
Hypokrites, isn't it?
that's it. And it is the one who plays a part. What you see is not what is really there.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times in hypocrisy, what a person shows up front is not what really is in his life. And as he tells us here, that if we don't love the brethren, you know, it's hypocrisy. And these things will stand out in your mind. I can relate to you something that happened many, many years ago. We had a family who had a fire. Their house burned. They lost everything that they had. And the brethren and the people began to do what we're supposed to do. And one individual, when he was asked to contribute, said, I'd just as soon someone slapped me as asked me to give money.
Mm-hmm.
That was a negative to me, and I still remember it. And you can imagine what it was to others. You know, our love is seen in what we do, and it has to be carried through. Here's a man, he made one claim. But when it came down, as Dennis said a while ago, proof is in the pudding, he wouldn't do what needed to be done.
Mm-hmm. We think about this idea of let love be without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is really being two-faced, isn't it? You know, you've seen the Actors Guild. You got the smiley face and the frowny face. It's playing the part. Well, a lot of people are playing the part of brotherly love, but in reality, they're not showing brotherly love whatsoever. You know, and we can see really this illustrated very powerfully in the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, it says, but whoso hath this world's goods, and beholdeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how doth the love of God abide in him? My little children, Let us not love in word, neither with a tongue, but in deed and in truth. Denny, loving God or loving our brethren is not going to just happen by our saying something, is it?
No, and just like James said a moment ago, it's more than just saying be warmed and be filled. Mm-hmm. We have to do something about it. You know, I had a heart attack a year ago. You know, there were so many people that sent us cards and letters and said they were praying for us and sent financial contributions or brought food by the house. I was just overwhelmed. It was just amazing, and it's hard to think about people caring about you like that. It's hard to receive sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing is, we got to see a great example of brethren who care about each other. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we should be for everyone, not just a preacher or not just somebody who you care about because you know them real well. We should be willing to help.
You know, another situation like that, David right now.
Exactly.
I mean, people have been asking about him, praying about him, helping him any way they possibly can. Can you imagine being a part of the world, not having that brotherly love among brethren in Christ, and having to try to deal with the difficulties that they're going through? I remember when our son was diagnosed with cancer, and we would go up to Philadelphia Children's Hospital. They had this atrium up in the middle of the hospital. It went up to about three or four floors, and one mother's child became ill with cancer, and she was so distraught that she threw her child off the upper atrium down to the bottom to its death. She had no help.
Mm-hmm.
She did not have the brotherly love that could help her endure. And we knew other people who were going through similar situations, a husband and wife. They were divorcing because of all the turmoil going on. Why was all these things happening? They did not have that brotherly love that they needed to help them get through these difficulties. I mean, brotherly love is where it's at.
Well, you know, all of us as preachers have been to the hospital many times to visit people, and we've seen how our brethren go and care and make a difference. And you probably have been in rooms that have two or three people in them, and the other person isn't receiving any visitors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when it's a good time for us to step around that curtain and say, how are you? I'm so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Let me just, is there anything I can do for you? Anything? Mm-hmm. You know, Tom, don't you guys have some bags or some things that you deliver to the hospital?
Whenever we have a bag, you know, we take them to the hospital with, you know, coins and pencils and various things in there to help them. You know, we call it our hospital bag, and we'll take it to the brethren. If somebody knows somebody, it's just a good thing to let people know that you care. People don't care how much you know.
We know, David, a lot of people are pouring out their hearts for David, and we should.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is because David has poured out his life for other people,
mm-hmm.
too. You know, talk about giving and caring. David's been real good at several places where he's been about going to flower shops and getting the flowers they're about to throw out and taking and delivering to the widows, to the people in the hospital. You know, David is a giving, caring person, and some of that's being reciprocated. And that's what it's all about. If we love God and we love each other, we make a difference in the lives of others.
I'll tell you another thing that happened to me. When our youngest child was born, she was 5 months old, we found out she didn't have a hip socket, no hip. And we're going to have to go to Fort Worth, and we're going to be over there for a long period of time. It's not life-threatening, but it's life-changing. And the day we packed up to go to Fort Worth, as I left, there was an elderly gentleman there from church. He came up, made a few comments to me about how he was thinking about us, and he shook my hand and put a $20 bill in it. That man didn't have a lot of $20 bills, but that was an act of love because he knew some of the things we were going to have to go through for the next several weeks, well, months. And that was his life. And then I'll go ahead and say this about him. Several years later, he passed away. And I don't know how many funerals I've conducted, but there was a larger crowd at his funeral than any funeral I've ever had. He was a loving man, and you knew it because of his actions.
So brotherly love is impartial. It is unselfish. It is a proof of discipleship. It is sincere, and it is abounding. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12 says, abound in love, and notice, one toward another and toward all men, even as we also do toward you. And so there's a passage that points out that this brotherly love is not only to be to our brethren, but we're to show that same kind of, when we talk about brotherly love, we're not calling them our brothers in Christ, but we're treating them like we would treat our own family. And that's one of the things we've got to understand. Even though they are not a Christian, we should have the same kind of compassion and kindness extended to them that we would extend to our own brothers and sisters, shouldn't we?
And it should be something that grows in our lives the older we get, the more mature we are. You know, in this great book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul is telling them, you be strong. You've done great things, but you keep going despite the obstacles. You just keep on growing. And he's going to continue to tell them through chapter 4, abound and continue to abound. You grow. You get stronger. You do more. You make a difference. And by doing this, it was going to allow them to be faithful to receive eternal life when Jesus comes back, which he's about to explain to them how that works. You just keep being faithful. You make a difference in this world. You win souls for Christ. You serve your fellow man, and you're going to be ready when that trumpet sounds. You're going to go to heaven. Don't worry. Don't stress. You be strong and keep growing. And we still need that message today. You know, it's not about the bank account, two cars, and a bass boat. It's about, are you laying up that treasure in heaven where you can go to heaven and spend eternity?
Paul said, do good unto all men, especially they of the household of faith, but
that's right.
Do good to all men.
When we think about this idea of brotherly love, again, it is impartial. It is unselfish. It is a proof of discipleship. It is sincere. We are to be abounding in our love one for another. And that's love that it's overflowing. You know, true brother love is not going to say, well, I want to do just enough to get by. And that's where a lot of people are, isn't it? They want to do just enough to get by. Well, we're about out of time. And it's been a good study. And we're just touching the hem of the garment on things we want to say about brotherly love. But know this. If we don't love our brothers like we ought to, we are not going to go to heaven. And so thank you so much, Frank, for filling in again. And Frank is kind of a mainstay on our program these days. And it's good to have Denny Wilson back in the area. Denny's a good friend, faithful to the Word of God, and we love him so much. And we were thankful that he was willing to help us out tonight. And so we're going to see you next week. And we're going to continue our study on the Christian graces, brotherly love. You have been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition.